British Spy Stories, Season 1. Spy or Traitor? Episode 24. Kate arrives back in her room in the hotel and pulls out the burner phone that Riverside had given her. She powers it up and leaves her own mobile by the bedside to charge, then packs up her things and sorts her camouflage clothing. As she opens the door to leave, her own phone hums on the bedside table as it receives a text, and she walks over to it. The message is from Bradley Stewart in the Zurich consulate and reads, "Hey Kate, found your DNA sample identity. It's Agent Blackhawk in Field Ops. Not sure if that helps. Cheers, Brad." She stands looking at the words, not quite believing what she sees. Riverside and Catherine drive out from the hotel at 10:30 for the half-hour journey. He drops her by the observatory building, as it is sited above the location where he plans to talk to Blackhawk. She walks into the trees that create a canopy to hide her from sight. Kate makes her way down the slope between the high ground and the grey buildings of the International Observatory Centre, which sit at the bottom of the valley. Gabrielle parks the Z4 on a side road at the base of the hill that provides the observatory with the height it needs to suppress the light from the town at night and give a clear view of the planets and stars. She is in black leggings and top, her Smith & Wesson strapped to her back, and a pair of MI6 high-powered binoculars around her neck. She dives off into the undergrowth and takes a curving track through the trees. From her scouting reconnaissance yesterday, she knows there is a single winding road that twists up the side of the hill, and various buildings and houses scattered across the upland area around the observatory. Riverside gave her a grid reference for the meeting, which is in front of the administrative buildings that nestle among the trees on the eastern side of the rising ground. Gabby runs through the forest, continually watching all directions and slowly making her way uphill. She reaches the building that houses the telescope itself and scouts around it, but there is no one around. She stops and takes in the view of Nice and the curve of the coastline as it rolls onto the airport in the distance. She runs to the east side of the hill and steps more carefully as she gets nearer to the rendezvous point. She is on the verge of dropping down to the roadway when a single reflection catches her eye. She drops to her haunches and scans the area where she saw the flash. At first, she sees nothing except undergrowth, the trees and shrubbery on the forest floor melding together in a mass of greenery. Then she sees it, a tiny movement that is out of context. She steps to one side to change her perspective, and more is revealed. A woman is lying on the ground wearing camouflage clothing. Wisps of blonde hair protrude from a green beanie, and in her hands, the standard long-range sniper rifle of the British Security Services. Gabrielle watches for a minute and confirms that the woman is a bedded-in sniper. She fixes the woman's position on the map on her phone and continues her journey. Dropping down the slope, Gabrielle walks to the edge of the tree line and can see the meeting point ahead. A long, low building sits at an angle on the junction of the road, and a small car park to the rear has no vehicles in it. She can see Riverside standing to one side, looking over the fence at the trees that stretch below in the valley of the River Pion before it turns south and swirls into the Mediterranean in the centre of the town. From Gabby's view, the sniper gives perfect cover for Riverside, assuming they're in this together. Part of her is disappointed, as she felt he was an ally, but the view she has now tells her he is not going to help get more information on the mole. She can't break cover in this position, so runs across the roadway, then down to the lower trees, around behind Riverside and the grey buildings, then up on the far side. There is a second building to his right, with a covered entrance that blocks the sniper's view. Gabby jumps the fence and stands in the entranceway.
Riverside?
She calls across the 30 feet between them, and he turns.
Black Hawk, thank you for coming.
I wanted to talk to you,
she says. They both remain in their positions.
I have some more I'd like to share with you,
he says, and holds up another hard drive.
What's on it?
Her voice carries on the midday breeze that blows up from the valley and rustles the trees that surround them.
I'd like to show you. I've got a laptop here. We can go through it. My computer's in the car. I'm charging it because the battery's shot. But here, come and have a look.
He walks back to his vehicle and pulls open one of the rear doors, then puts an arm into the car and pulls out a laptop. An umbilical lead connects the machine to a socket somewhere inside. He opens the laptop, places it on the roof of his rental car, and starts to click on the touchpad. Gabby is unsure of her next best move. Patently, Riverside now needs to be treated as an enemy combatant by her. She doesn't know if he is the mole, or briefed by the mole to capture her. Or he could be part of Ulrich's gang of well-connected people. The one thing she does know is that she needs to stop him doing whatever he is planning to do. The day is warm. The sun beats down on the 30 feet of dirt that runs from Gabby's protected location to Riverside's car. She assesses the risk, knowing the sniper is in the woods above their heads. On balance, she calculates, they will want to talk first. So she puts one foot out onto the ground in front of her, revealing her position. No shot comes, and she walks quickly to Riverside, making sure to stand so that he blocks the sniper's shot. He clicks through the screens with a narrative of showing her the definitive evidence. And here's the proof, he says as he clicks onto the final page. The page is blank.
What's this?
She starts to say, as the muzzle of his handgun raises to her body. They remain stock still. A butterfly skims the car roof and circles their heads, then flies off from where it came. Hands where I can see them, Black Hawk. He reaches around her shoulder, removes the Smith & Wesson from her back, and places it on the car roof. Keeping his gun trained on her, he pulls out a zip tie from his pocket and ratchets it round one of her wrists. He repeats it with a second tie, then pulls out a third tie and starts to lock all of the ties together. In less than 1 second, Gabby brings one foot up and round to the back of his knee. It collapses his leg and he falls against the car door. She uses the advantage of surprise to pull his body round and down onto the ground. He pushes up on one leg and lunges for her, grabbing her ankle and bringing her crashing to the floor. Her head hits the dirt with a dull thud, and blood immediately surfaces on her skin. She spins and kicks out, hitting him in the face. Then she sits up and takes a swing with her fist, landing a punch on his jaw. Riverside's head crashes back to the ground, giving her time to stand, but he regains his balance more quickly than she imagined, and he gets up and runs at her. Their arms lock. He is stronger than her in the upper body, but she is more agile. She punches him in the kidney, and again, until the pain shows on his face. She thrusts into him with her body weight on a final assault. He falls back and cracks his head on the side of his own car. She pushes him into the open door and rams the door onto his body, bringing a cracking sound from his thigh. She reopens the door, aware that she is angry now, and punches him again. He falls unconscious, half in and half out of the back door. Now the first sniper shot rings out across the hillside. It brings up a shaft of dust on the ground inches from Gabby's right foot. She grabs her handgun and runs for cover, knowing that the sniper will have a bolt-action reload time of between 2 and 3 seconds if the woman is a professional. Gabby makes it to the trees at the base of the slope before any more shots are unleashed. Snipers are hampered in warfare if they try and change their position. Their strength is in being highly accurate over long distances, but they are hopeless on the move. She moves swiftly up through the hill, edging closer to the sniper's position until she gets a clear view of the location where the sniper was bedded in. The bracken is squashed flat, but there is no gunwoman to be seen any longer. Gabby crouches low, scanning the undergrowth. The sniper and her rifle cannot be far away. Gabby listens. Upper branches sway in the light breeze. Otherwise, the place is deathly quiet, the external sounds dampened by the trees. She hears a single twig break 50 yards ahead of her and runs at pace along a path towards the sound. The sniper breaks cover from her hiding position, turns with her rifle and fires around towards Gabby, then runs off up the path. The bullet skims past her ear, so close that she can feel the air pressure dip, then rise again as the metal flies by. Gabby has 3 seconds before the woman is rearmed. She raises her handgun and takes a single shot, but misses. She kneels and steadies her hand, takes a leg shot, and the woman falls to the ground. Gabrielle runs to the sniper, picks up the rifle, and throws it into the bushes.
"Who the fuck are you?"
Gabby shouts at the woman, holding her gun to her neck.
"Coniston," says Catherine. "C9 branch."
"ID,"
Gabby demands. Catherine indicates a pocket in her leggings, and Gabby pulls out the MI6 credentials.
"You could have fucking killed me," she says. "We were told to bring you in. You and Riverside?"
Catherine nods.
"What the hell for?" "They think you're the mole," says Catherine.
Gabby laughs, then sits down on the ground, leaning against a tree. Kate sits up and inspects her leg wound.
"You'll live. I shot to skim the flesh." "Why do they think you're the mole?"
says Catherine.
"It's a well-tried internal propaganda technique for double agents," says Gabby. "If you think you're going to be discovered, you send out messages all over the place accusing other innocent people of being the leak. Then there are so many false flags that the real flag is lost in the sea of counter-accusations. It's clever, simple and very effective, and it plays on human paranoia."
"This bloody stings,"
says Catherine, pulling at her leggings around the cochineal stain.
"Sorry about that," says Gabby with a smile. "Come on, let me help you. My car is down the hill. I'll take you back to my hotel."
"What about Rob?"
says Catherine.
"Who?" "Riverside."
"Oh, that's his name," says Gabby.
"You guys know each other then?"
"No, not at all."
Gabrielle helps Catherine stand, and they slowly make their way back down to the Z4. Gabby drives round to where she left Riverside, but he is gone, and they turn back and head for Nice.